right, as previously stated, we are so happy to be hearing the voice of Elder Paul Price, who's going to be giving us a great message this morning. The title of the message is Life's Unexpected Crosses. This dates back to 1966. Just think about that for a moment. And we want to also give great thanks to Brother Jacob Roseberry, who has worked very hard, very diligently to transfer this media over into more of a modern technology so we can play it over the conference call this morning. So with that said, we're going to have Brother Jacob go ahead and start in. Brother Jacob, go right ahead.
When they had by the crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon the name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Life has a lot of unexpected crosses. Our Father, we look to you. After all, we're a firm believer that you direct the minds and hearts of your people in your church, and especially that you speak to your ministers. Help us tonight, Lord, to be out of the way that you might speak the word you want spoken.
Hallelujah.
Not the word of man, but let it be the word of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We do have needs. The field is white, and the laborers are still so few. We rejoice in this number standing tonight in this place, and how our hearts rejoice as we think we're growing and getting larger in number. But dear God, when 3 billion people lay out before us, we look so small. We're so small on a great sea that's full of trouble and turbulence. We feel the need of a divine intervention from heaven to so spur us and move us and somehow answer the need that laborers might be thrust in the harvest fields. We're asking tonight that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost will speak to us in the Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus did not have to tell the blind man how to see. He did not have to tell the lame man how to leap and jump for joy. He did not have to tell the man that was brought in by four how to go home and enjoy fellowship with his own family. He did not have to tell the man that was a leper how to enjoy a clean skin and go home and find folks with an arm outreached for him. He did not have to tell a man that had never known the privilege of hearing the sounds of music and the voices of his loved ones how to heal. It seems as though the things that are blessings to us, we need little encouragement of how to use them or how to have them or to enjoy them. The strange thing about it is that the things that are blessings to us, seemingly we have a lot of people around us to enjoy and rejoice with us. Blessings bring others to rejoice with us when we're being blessed. As we look at this great conference, we're rejoicing in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in this service. We're here as a great body of people. And somehow we walked in here, we laid our crosses down outside, and we've come in here for a great move of the Holy Spirit, because we recognize we need something from God to bear the loads of life as life has dealt to us, each individual. And from this service, we'll leave here and go to our several homes. But the Lord spent a lot of time telling folks how to bear a cross, and how to carry a burden, and how to carry a commission, how to thrust the message to the far corners of the earth. He spent a lot of time telling folks how that there was not anything in this that was going to be of monetary value to you. But he kept impressing the need of a consecrated, dedicated follower. It seems as though when folks ran to him asking to be his followers, he did not thrust to them a position and say, come sit on my throne beside me here and there. But he laid a cross before each one of them. He did not ask the one to come and sit in a high place, but he gave everyone that approached him a cross to carry back. The rich young man said, I'll follow you all the way. But finally, when he laid the cross down before this young man, the boy went away, leaving the cross, sorrowful in spirit. You see, it's something about the cross But I feel like in all of our rejoicing, we must never forget, this church only moves when it bleeds and suffers and calls on God for a move of God to meet the needs of a crying, dying world. World of Day is not in actuality waiting for you and me to come. We're not waiting for them to ask us to come, but we are compelled by divine authority to go to the world. We're authorized to speak the word of truth to the four corners of the earth. But I found out that I need very little help in having someone help me enjoy my blessings. You talk about them. Things that you've been encouraged with, you talk about them. And you find folks rejoicing with you. But when you come to your hard place, when you come to the crossroads of life, when you come to those difficult moments in your life, then you and I stand alone. We have a cross to bear that no one else could bear for us. Your wife, your husband, your friend, your neighbor, your pastor cannot bear a cross the Lord makes for you. Each one of us receive one, and we must carry it, we must bear it. I can bear that which I plan for. When I make room and make allowance for certain things, I can endure them better. When I know they're coming, I can prepare my mind and my heart to receive it when you know it's going to be. But dear friend, when it happens overnight, when it comes without a speak of warning, when it pops into your life all of a sudden, and a brand new cross, a cross you've never borne before, is laid on your shoulders, it's then and there the test of your experience begins to be tried and tested. The coward part of us rises up and wants to run. There is a mixture between a failure and success in all of us. No one man is a full success. He's a mixture of failure and success. But we remember the failures, we call them a failure. If you remember the successes, you call them a success. And let me tell you, friend, there's something about the cross of Christ. The world cannot tell you whether you're a success or a failure. Only Christ alone can tell you if you've borne it right. But I find that it's those injections of those places in life that come all of a sudden, that seemingly throw us off our feet. I find that in this world today, about 30 million people, maybe 30,000 people this year in America will seek that way out. They call it suicide. It means life has become unbearable. They cannot find answers to living. Life has lost its purpose. And these folks feel it's the easiest way out. Pull the trigger, jump off the bridge, jump out of the high-story building, plug up the crack on the door and plug the keyhole, turn the gas on. Take a handful of pills and go to a midnight sleep and never awake. This makes them feel I've escaped that cross that I cannot embrace. I can escape that place that I cannot stand. That's the coward's way out. But friend, there's something in all of us. When the time comes on you all of a sudden, that something within you would seek the easiest way out. I don't say you take that, but there's something in all of us that seeks for an easier way. But thank God, there's something better. Then I recognize the fact, as it is in the natural, as men and women commit physical suicide, I have lived to see the day and time in my ministry. I've seen many a Christian commit spiritual suicide. They received the cross that were not prepared to bear. They had not recognized the certain requirements were required to be a disciple. They forgot the fact that the songs of the choir cannot be sung when that cross would be given. They forgot to remember there was not an amen for some beloved brother to encourage him on when that cross was given. There might have been good wishes all around him, but let me tell you, there's something about it. Men and women have laid this old cross down because they said, I can't make it. I can't make it. I gave in counsel to a young couple. We have to win to the Lord 18 years ago. This wife, as I told her, I said, you're about to commit spiritual suicide. You're on a 20-story building, and you're about to jump. She shook her head, yes. Tonight, friends, she's made her jump. Family destroyed. Home destroyed. Soul's going to hell. Some little minor thing, a little hurt feeling, a little mistreatment, and you find out how much real salvation you have. Yes, you could shout and worship the Lord and enjoy the blessings of God. I thank God for we need that every so often to help us to rise above the humps of life. But when it comes right down to it, friend, it's according to the cross that you bear, how far up that road you're going. You can't escape it. It's there. You've got to bear it. You can't escape it. It's life's compelling cross. You cannot throw it aside. You do, you leave your cross. Now, I notice another way of escape that has been used by the world. When a person in this life has become so mistreated or so ill-treated, they withdraw into a shell. When Abraham Lincoln's wife left the White House after his death, she was a very well-known woman in the White House. But she knew that she was not received like him. She knew this. She left the White House, she went to her home, pulled the blinds down and closed the door. And there lived her last days in a life of self-pity and feeling like the world had rejected her. I noticed this about one of our leaders of our land. I so appreciated this, at least. And you say, Hoover? People say depression. That man lived through the day when he was criticized, he was talked about, he was blamed, he was carrying the load of all of that. But he lived to see the day when they come back to him and said, Mr. Hoover, we've got a job in the White House for you to do. We need your wisdom, we need what you have to offer. He didn't go in and pull the shades down and say the world has rejected me, but he just waited his time. A day came when the world came back. Friend, there's many a Christian that has faced that same thing in their lives. A place at the crossroad, a place that's a bind. Your pride is on the line, your fee's on the line, and your very, look like your very future's on the line. But let me tell you this, never draw in the self-pity corner and pull the clouds around about you and live in the haze of thinking, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me, and there hide away and lose your talents. Pick up your cross. Let's go a little further. Praise the Lord. There's another way out, and I want to talk about that tonight. The Lord said, come to the throne of grace boldly to find grace and mercy and help in the time of need. Hallelujah, friend. That meant, he said, come boldly. It means no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened, just come on my office. My door is open. I don't close it no time. 24 hours a day. You say, I'm ashamed to go in there, friend. Go on in there. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Get on the inside. I tell you, there's a many a Christian that sit on the outside of that door. Felt unworthy to go back inside again. Say, I've gone too far. But let me tell you, friend, there's no help outside that door. The demons of hell crowd your mind with all of these feelings and all of these things. But the same Jesus that said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing, he said to you, come on in. Come on in. He said, come on in boldly and ask for mercy and grace and help in the time of need. Friend, if you could keep that door from being barred by the devil or by your feelings or by whatever may happen to you, there's no reason in the world you could not bear any kind of cross that life presents to you. But if you look at the cross alone and think of the cross by itself, it's too much to bear. You must remember that Christ saw the joy that was beyond the cross. He saw the results of the cross. If you see no purpose in it for the moment, remember this. He does know best. In fact, nothing happens to a Christian but what the Lord permitted to happen. I can explain all things. I cannot tell you how and why it was. Last General Conference, one of our fine men from our district, a missionary in the Latin American countries, going home, stopped by the road and helped some wayfarer along the way that was having trouble. While he stopped there, truck hits his car, sends his wife and baby to the hospital and near the point of death for several days. Sad as it was, I could not explain it. Dear Brother Bob Beasley and Sue walked out of that hospital, come back to their district. I've heard no sad notes out of either one of them. They testified God was good to us. Friend, I tell you, if you can keep bitter feelings out, if you can keep self-pity out, if you can keep the ill will out, the wound will heal up easier. There's no scar that could be made upon this body for what it could heal if the body is healthy. But if there's no healing virtue in your body, it'll be infected. If they can keep out infection, the doctor can be a good doctor to keep out infection. Your body take care of the rest of them. And so it isn't with life. Life has many scars, and scars tell us a lot of things. Thank God for scars. You folks have had operations. You never forget to show your scars. They mean days of suffering to you. They mean hours of suffering for you. You tell all about how it happened. You tell all about the long incision and how long he was on the operating table, how near death you was, and all about it. These scars tell something. But to me, they tell something more. It tells there was a man that could stand a scar and come back and say, I'm still in the fight. Praise the Lord. I didn't just fall in, as it were, with a wound. Lie there until it become infected by some foul disease. Then let it destroy my life. But instead, the Holy Ghost healed it up in the name of Jesus, the divine love and the divine spirit. And I can go out there and face the adversary, face my enemy, have a divine love in my heart. Then you won't have that unless you can embrace the cross of Christ. What is the cross of Christ? I know many people call different things the cross. One man said to his pastor, he said, my temper is my cross. He said, sir, it is, that temper is your sin. He said, you are your wife's cross. There are some things that we're calling the cross of Christ that are not in the cross of Christ at all. I believe his cross was this, not my will, but thine be done. Friend, if you can get that work done of fulfilling his will, that's carrying the cross. There's times when that cross becomes heavy to bear. Because there's no one around you to encourage you on and push you on. But remember, that cross must be borne. From a little village out away from Jerusalem, you can imagine how it would be when you left your home and come in General Thomas. There in that little house stood a man and telling his family all about the Passover at Jerusalem. This man was describing to them why they were going. Every child in the house knew the reason. The journey is going to be long. You must carry your own baggage. You must carry your own bedding. You must carry your own tent. But we're going to Jerusalem for the Passover. A glorious event. This man is doing what God asked him to do. These things are hard to understand. When I do all that I know what to do, and then this happened. But this man left home with every intention that he was pleasing God. No doubt he prayed for God to give him a safe journey. And they boarded up their little home and walked away, and they could be gone for several days. And they hit the little highway, and finally the highway, a little trail rather, finally went into a highway, and finally there was people gathered along the path as they traveled. This man was carrying along with him his provisions for this particular time. He met old friends on the road. He met neighbors. He met those that come from a long distance. News from a far country was gathered along these roads. People talked about the crops that fail in certain parts of the country. Folks talked about the economy. I know Doc could hear them say their conversation went along the road. How long do you think Caesar's going to stay in office? Do you think he'll be out next year? Would there be a real reason why we could have hope that Caesar might be dethroned? We surely want Israel to be king again in the land. Will Messiah come? I wonder, has he come yet? No doubt they talked about the scriptures and about the things that have been taught from a child on up. This was in their soul. No, they were not coming to a joyful singing and shouting and praising. We're not coming to a place as we're coming to tonight. They're coming to a place to be able to get the guilt of sin pushed aside for another year. To be able to hear that high priest once more say, he's fulfilled God's word and God's law. You can go home again another year. You performed your duty. I can see him count his money, and he's counted his money several times. That high priest at the tabernacle or temple, he charges quite a bit for those sacrifices. I don't know what it's going to be this year. Has anybody in the crowd ever heard? Do you know what's the price of a lamb? What's the price of a dove? What's the price of these things? We've got to change our money into temple money when we get there. And surely, I hope I have enough. I provided the best I could provide this year. I hope the prices have not gone up. These were the conversations of those people making their way to Jerusalem. They crowded in upon those little roads and finally come to the city, outside the city area. They began to get more crowded. Yes, headquarters hotel was full, motels were full, nothing left. All they had left was open lots. The places to stay were out in the open. Folks had put up tents everywhere. There they are, scattered here and yon. and filling up fast. As this young man makes his way with his family down those streets, the crowds begin to become intense, and this man recognized a different atmosphere in that city. He felt the moving of some things that I feel we feel moving in America. He felt the rising tide of human beings with hate in their hearts, bitterness in their spirits, because he heard things said that he began to draw closer. Did not sound like victory. This man, being a strong man, robust and tall, no doubt pushed his way through the crowd. Folks perhaps cursed him for pushing them. No doubt others, that he might have stepped upon their feet, didn't appreciate it. But something in Simon's heart told him, there's something going on at that street up there, and I'm going to find out. I can see he pushes his way on through the last of the crowd, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, as it were, he was almost pushed out in front of the other folks in the street. He's there in front by himself now. He backs up to the crowd to watch and see what's happening. What's causing all of this fury that's going on in the city streets? He looks down the street. He could recognize there's Roman guards. There's three crosses and three men bearing those crosses. He looks upon the scene and he says, oh, it's a Roman crucifixion. They're cruel people. They're wicked rulers. They're tough taskmasters. No doubt in his own soul, he had a word of rebuke to those Romans that he saw doing this. But to his surprise, there's the high priest. There's the other priest that served him last year. And look at him. His eyes are filled with hate and jealousy and envy and strife. And that man is screaming words that he could not actually believe he was saying. And it seems like everything was focused upon one person, only one. The one that was the weakest and most ill-treated was the one the crowd was pointing their fingers at. It seemed as though that no one cared about the other two walking along with their cross. But there's just one. And that man's mind looked upon that scene, and I'm sure he wondered, why was this man so much worse than the other two? But I tell you, friend, back in the yawn of ages, somewhere in the eternity, the Almighty God had a plan. And God's plan is about to be unfolded. It was not explained to him. Only a prophet in the days gone by said, he'll bear my iniquities. He'll take stripes from my healing. There he comes. Simon, there's your Savior, but he doesn't know it. Simon, there's your Messiah, but he doesn't know it. Friend, when he finally arrives near enough to him, near in this procession, lo and behold, all of a sudden, Jesus falls over the cross, and then the weight of this thing topples over, and the crowd moves back to keep him getting hit. Simon is standing there just above him, and he looks upon this man that's suffering. He can hear the hard breathing. He can look and see the boldness in his face and the abuse he's been taking all day and all night. And the crown of thorns, he sees him wallowing there for a moment, trying to get his composure. And he can look and see the crowd and the screaming attitude. It makes a man's emotions run wild. You feel you want to do something, but what can you do? You feel you wonder why, you don't know why. You want to help, and all of a sudden you feel that strong strain of the crowd making you want to almost say what they're saying. I tell you, when mob rule gets in control, it'll make innocent people do things they wouldn't do ordinarily. So this man stands here bewildered and perplexed, but he didn't stand there very long. As a Roman soldier, a strong-armed soldier, reaches out with his strong hand and digs his fingers in that man's muscles, and he said to him, take up the cross and bear it for him. Before he could even think twice, he was picking the cross up.
Praise God. All right, everyone. Well, that concludes the first half of Elder Paul Price's message. And again, we want to stress that this recording is from 1966. So the sound quality, as you can see, is a little not that great. Brother Jacob has helped us to clean this up as much as possible. But although the quality may not have been that great, we hope that you were able to listen clearly enough. And we hope that you felt the strength, the conviction, the anointing, and the burden in Elder Paul Price's voice. It never gets old. It's the same voice and the same message that we need today, church. So we thank God for the crosses the Lord has placed in our lives. And we want to continue to remind everyone about tomorrow morning's service at 8:30 a.m. prayer, 9 a.m. is the service. And with that said, we want to allow everyone to have a great day in Jesus' name, and God bless all of you. Praise God.